I got to back the truck up a little bit. It wasn't this week. It was last week. But Natalie and I had a bright, sunny, warm day, so we decided to go to Grand Haven. To get to Grand Haven, we went up on 231 just outside of Allendale and then got on M104 to come straight in to Spring Lake. That's where we spent 5 years of our early marriage life. But on the way into Spring Lake, it's the three lanes, one going one way, one going the other way, and the middle one is for everybody who wants to turn left. So we're going down there. We're driving about 35 miles an hour. It's bumper to bumper, both directions, bumper to bumper. And there was a young lady with a van with some other young ladies in it, and I don't know if she was texting or if she was just distracted, but this king-size older van is drifting across through the center left turn lane, and it's coming right for Natalie and I. And within about 6 feet, I was laying on the horn, and I couldn't get out of the way because people on the sidewalk, trees, et cetera, et cetera. The guy behind me, because she drifted out of her lane, left an opening that he could shoot through. Oh, just happened to have a side street there that he could shoot through and get out of the way. And this gal did come to the party, but it was very, very close. It would not have been all that good had it not been for the goodness, the good Father that we have. He's watching us all the time.
Ooh, you put the higher up. Ralph, I'm shrinking. Okay, I just want to thank God for all this heat and all this warmth and how he really sustains us through it. I mean, this has been hard on little ones, big ones, old ones, everyone. This heat has really gotten to us, and it's going to be for a while yet, but we can thank God. He's seen us through it. He protects us. He guides us. He gives us a cool night's sleep. I shut the air off at night, but I put a big ceiling fan. Brian put it in for me. It's 64 inches diameter, and it really keeps the bedroom cool. So God is faithful in everything that he does for each and every one of us, and we should each morning get up and thank God for the new day, for the blessings that's coming, and really look for all those blessings. And even take a record of them, write them down, because when there's days you feel kind of gloomy, get those promises out and read them, and that will lift you up. I thank God for everything.
Amen. Thank you, Mary. Come on up, Lois.
Two things that happened that were wonderful and showed God's hand and his mercy. as you know, I went to that conference for my growing up days in church. Well, they don't really believe in the person of the Holy Spirit. They believe it's God's power. So, but they shy away from any power of the Holy Spirit because of the person of the Holy Spirit. So, the minister on the first night, he's a little bit younger than me, I remember him, but he spoke on how they were missing out on the power of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit can do. And I thought, whoa. I mean, people have been kicked out for something like that. But afterwards, I went up to him and I said, I appreciate what you said. I do appreciate it. And I told him my background, what happened, and, you know, why I'm not part of that church anymore. It was because of the power of the Holy Spirit and that the Spirit is moving today. And he says, well, the Holy Spirit's moving in my church. He says, maybe not in the conference, but it's moving in my church. So I had a time to speak with him, and then I wrote down a bunch of verses for him and handed them off to him. And he says, thank you so much for these, you know, the encouragement that you could give. So many lives can be changed by the Holy Spirit. And in that same weekend, my sister called, and she says, I'm meeting with one of my gals that I meet with and really need help. So if you get anything, just let me know. And, you know, it's a busy weekend, so I'm praying about it, and the Lord gives me Ecclesiastes 6. Anybody know what it's about? Neither did I. It's not one of those passages that you all, I mean, like, and I looked it up, and I started reading it, and I thought, God, you are wonderful. Holy Spirit, you are wonderful. It spoke right into the problem that my sister was going to be speaking with this gal about and praying with her. And when they prayed together, those scriptures came right to life, my sister said. And it's just how faithful God can be. It's not me. It's how faithful God is through the power of his Holy Spirit living in me and living in all of you. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, today in this place for what you're about to do.
Awesome. Thank you, Lois. Well, the kids and the children's church workers are released to Sunday school. The rest of us, if you have your Bible with you, could you turn with me to Mark chapter 10, verse 46? It's Mark 10 and verse 46. Well, I'd like to thank God for my new glasses getting messed up. So we had to get our eyes rechecked. Every couple of years you got to get your eyes checked. So we had to get our eyes checked. So we had to get new glasses, and they messed up my order. So that should be in this week. So I thank God for that, because the reason my glasses got messed up is because I started talking to the clerk about the gospel. And so in her distraction, she ordered the wrong glasses. So I guess that's awesome, right?
Yeah.
It was so funny because I was sitting there, and she was finishing up, like, talking to this one customer, and then she was going to go over the results and match them with the lenses with the glasses and then pay for them, all that stuff. So I'm kind of sitting at her desk, and she's talking to another customer that's, like, on the other side of the shop. And he's complaining about all his employees and how he just wants to retire. He's going to be done in, I can't remember what he said, I think in October he's done. She's like, well, I'm done in February, and da-da-da-da-da. And she's like, so how long do you have to work? I said, oh, well, hopefully I'm going to work my whole life. And she's like, what? I said, yeah, but I love my job. And she's like, well, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a pastor. She's like, oh, that's kind of weird, or something like that. I said, hey, what can I tell you? God works with anybody. I used to be an alcoholic atheist, and now I'm a pastor, and I love my job. She's like, hold it. You're a pastor, and you used to be an atheist? And she said it so loud that the only other clerk that's working there, she came over. And so now they're both looking at me, so I got to tell, like, a 90-second version of my testimony and how God totally transformed my life. I went from hopelessness to hopeful, and I said, it's simple as putting your faith in Jesus Christ, receiving that forgiveness, you can have your everything changed. Wow. So they heard it clear. I did put some bait on the line. I threw it in the water. I was fishing. Holy Spirit can say anything he wants to them now and stir them to faith. But I still think it was worth it to be able to talk to them about the Lord for 2 minutes, and now I have to go make another trip to them and continue with the glasses saga. So the good news, the real good news about that, I get to take another shot. So when I go back to get my glasses, I'm definitely going to be saying, so what'd you think about what we talked about? Let's see if I can catch somebody. Well, that's it. Why wait till you're tired to be happy? They ought to just come on in. So last week, do you guys remember what I talked about last week? I'll give you a hint. It was about inspiration. So I talked about how King David when at one of his lowest times in his life, he went and inspired himself in the Lord with what I believe, the Bible doesn't say this, but what I believe, he inspired himself through reciting some of the Psalms that he had wrote through his life. And so the Bible says every single word of the Bible is inspired by God. So if we want to be inspired, if we need inspiration, we can read the inspired word of God and get inspired. That's, in a nutshell, that's what I talked about last week for 45 minutes. So, you with me? Okay, all right. So, today I want to try to put just a little bit sharper point on it, if I can. Jesus asked blind Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do?" And so, just think of this. Think of this, of sometime today when you're just doing your busy stuff, and I mean, all of us are usually multitasking. We're heading out to here so we can get that done, so we can get back to do that and meet someone later. And then tonight we have, right? That, I mean, that stuff's always floating around in our brain. And what about tomorrow and later this week? And we've got four or five schedules always cooking around in our brain. Imagine if on your way out to your car, you're walking in between a couple of cars, and all of a sudden Jesus kind of just pops up, says, "Orin, what do you want me to do? Mary, what do you want me to do? Jeanette, what do you want me to do?" What would you say? Could you be like Bart, formerly known as Blind Bart? Could you just say, "Oh, I want to see"? Because you know that every day he was praying to get his eyesight. His whole life revolved around wanting to see and the misery of not being able to see. So as believers, what is our whole life wrapped around? As we inspire ourselves in God, what will happen? We'll know that God answered our prayer. What would that look like? Is there anything in your life that you're praying that serious about that if Jesus showed up, you're walking out of this room, all of a sudden, Jesus right there, "What do you want me to do?" "I want you to save my oldest son. I've been praying for him for 13 years. What would your answer be? What do you want me to do?" "Oh, that my mom would get healed today. She just got a report of cancer 3 weeks ago, that she'd be healed today." Bam. What's on the tip of your lips because you've been praying and believing? You got the promises of God written down. "What do you want me to do?" "I want you to change my marriage. I want you to redeem this thing. Don't even fix it. Don't duct tape it, Jesus. I want a brand new marriage." What would be our answer today? Because that is where we got to get. If we're inspired, you'll be razor sharp. You will, so to speak, you'll have your game face on all the time. You'll be prayed up. You'll be read up. You'll be hungry, waiting for God to move, expecting it to happen very soon. On this day, I think blind Bartimaeus expected to get healed that day. As we go through this thing, you'll see that it wasn't just, I don't think it was happenstance. I think this blind guy had a strategy to meet the living God so he could get healed. So, you can just stay there in Mark 10. I'm going to read the version of this first that Luke wrote in chapter 18 of Luke. It's the same story. He just wrote it a little bit different. So I'll read this, and then I'm going to go to Mark 10, and we can all read that together. So in Luke 18, verse 35, Luke says, "Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant." You know, blind guy can't see exactly what's going on, so he has to double check what's the crowd about. And I like how it says that a certain blind man. Didn't say a random blind man. Do you know that when you pray, your prayers go right before God? When you're in your prayer closet, you are a certain Christian praying certain prayers to God Almighty? So when it says a certain blind man, that means God heard. He saw what was going on in blind Bartimaeus' life. We are certain Christians when we stand before God. We're not just number 6,423. We are certain. We're called by name. He says, "So what's the crowd mean?" Verse 37. "So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying," I love that. He didn't have to go back home and pray about anything. He was ready. He cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before him warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Wow. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. What a great story about how Jesus comes to us in a certain place on a certain day, us being called by name, and he has this appointment with us. And all the power and love of Jesus combines with our faith to answer our prayers. Because blind Bartimaeus wasn't just neutral in this. Jesus, the God of the universe, says, according to your faith, you're going to see. Bart had a big part in this thing. We can have a big part in it. But again, I think he was very strategic. I think he was very intentional. I think this was his top 10 list was, I want to see, 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 I want to see. I want all 10 slots where I want to see. What are your top 10 slots? It's a good question. Mark 10, verse 46. Let's see how Mark puts it. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, wait, hold it. You went through all of Jericho, and there's not another recorded story according to Mark, who researched this and went back and talked to all eyewitnesses and stuff. There wasn't a single story of faith in Jericho except for blind Bartimaeus, who was actually outside of Jericho. Whoa. I think that's worth noting. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, which literally means my master. Not the master or a master. He literally says, my master, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Man, I'm going to highlight a few things on this. I think I have six different points, but don't worry, they kind of bleed together. And you don't have to take notes on all six things. My prayer for this service today and for all of us is that there's going to be a couple of these points that the Holy Spirit stirs in each one of us. Maybe your couple of points are different from everyone else's, but my prayer is that the Holy Spirit's going to stir faith in you as I go through these scriptures. I talk about this blind guy, formerly known as blind Bartimaeus, and you're going to see something in your life that God wants to change, and you're going to partner with him, with his love and his power and your faith, and we're going to see breakthrough in our lives in one specific thing in each one of our lives. Amen? Amen. All right, so how about some background? Well, Jericho at this time was one of the busiest cities in that whole region. This was a metropolis. It was huge. It was super busy. And this road that blind Bartimaeus was begging on is one of the main roads in all of Jericho. It runs north and south. And as you get down to about the bottom of this road, it joins with another road that goes straight into Jerusalem. So everybody in this northeast quadrant of this region that wanted to get to Jerusalem would all go down to this road, come down through Jericho, go to this main highway, and go right into Jerusalem. So, by the way, this is the Passover season. So all the church people are going to church to celebrate the church holiday, Jerusalem. Think of like America at Christmas time. When all the Christers, y'all know who Christers are, right? People go to church at Christmas and Easter, Christers. So at Christmas time, when the devout Christers decide to go to a church service, hopefully one that has the big parade and a live nativity show and some animals and maybe some free food, some free giveaway and that kind of stuff. So they'll go into there. They're really not thinking a whole lot about a holy God, right? I mean, some of us used to be Christers. Most of us are related to Christers or work with Christers or our neighbor's Christer, right? That's right, Pastor Mike. You're telling the truth right now. Go ahead. Okay. These people, when they show up at church, they're not worried about salvation, eternal judgment, or that the God that loves them is available to them right now on that certain day. They're just thinking about church service. Most of these people that are going past this blind guy today is just a church person thinking about church service, going to get there close to on time, going to go in, it'll pass, we'll get out of church, done for the week. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's how most of these people were thinking. They were thinking this will get us done until springtime. This will get us done until fall time when the next big religious holiday is for our community. So these guys are going down that road, heading to Jerusalem. And what's really interesting is that blind Bartimaeus had figured out something that most of the panhandlers around here have figured out. You know what that is? That church people are easy targets. Whether they're priesters or not. Oftentimes, priesters are better targets than devout Christians. You know why? Because priesters are lugging around 10,000 pounds of guilt. And what's better than giving money to a poor person to get rid of your guilt? What's better than that? It's so simple. If you don't think that this is true, the next time you see a beggar, read his sign or her sign, and somewhere on that sign it's going to say, God bless you. Which means, oh, they must be a Christian. They're hard on their luck. I got to help them. Do you know one of the biggest scams are people begging at intersections with the signs, will work for food, but then you go, okay, well, get in the car. I'll take you home. You can help me mow my lawn. Oh, no, I can't do that. Have you ever tried to check somebody that's actually begging for money on intersection? No one has. Whoa. I'm telling you. Try it. Sometime the people that have the sign that say, we'll work for food, say, hey, why don't you come on home? Help me sweep my driveway. I'll bring you right back. Something simple like that, that's only 10 minutes, right? See what your response is. Do you know that all the places, all the organized places that help the poor, including our government and non-governmental agencies, say, do not give money to people begging on the corner. Do not do it, because almost all of them will take it and buy drugs and alcohol. Support a place that helps the poor, that has like values you have. Give them money, volunteer your time down there. Help the poor. By all means, help the poor. But we're not trying to give people stuff that's going to help destroy them. We want to set them free. Anyways, blind Bartimaeus had figured this out. That's why he's on this road. It's the main road traveled by church people going to Passover. So he's sitting there. He's listening to all these crowds. He's sure of one thing. It's going to be a big crowd today. Should be good business. Do you know beggars don't go and beg on an intersection in a neighborhood like this? I've never seen one. I can't say they never do it. I've just never seen one. I see them over by the mall, especially in the holiday season. I don't know if they have to like arm wrestle to get the best spots or whatever. But wow, you start coming out of that mall and every intersection for about 1 mile square is taken. Have you ever read any of the studies where there's people that are out there and other people will come out and like spy on them and follow them? And so they get done, they get their backpack on, and they take their sign, they fold it up, put it inside of their backpack, and they walk and they go over and they get in their brand new Cadillac and drive home. I read this one article. It was in the Advanced newspaper. It used to be a newspaper that was out and around here. This person said that they went and helped a person that had the sign out at an intersection and said, can I just hold your sign for you for an hour? You can take a break and I'll stand here. She got over $200 in that 1 hour holding that sign. There's some good money around a Christian community when you put certain things on your sign. Blind Bart knew this. He was out there to make some money. But we can't leave it there. Because the story totally changes when blind Bartimaeus is told that it's Jesus. I love this. Mark 10, verse 46. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, where's all the stories about other people getting healed? That sticks out so much to me. Anyways, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. I think, you know, by this time Jesus has been traveling around doing his ministry in this whole region for a couple years now. I think by now, word on the street traveled fast when Jesus was going to be anywhere near there, especially for somebody that was blind, who probably hung around with other people that were blind, or were beggars that were down and out, who really could use the touch from Jesus, who all these stories are saying he's doing crazy stuff like raising the dead, or opening blind eyes for different people, or healing 10 lepers all in one, or this one woman was bleeding to death and he cured her. No doctor could cure. Man, if that Jesus could ever come around here, I'm telling you what, I'm running straight to him. Don't get in my way. I'm blind. I got an excuse to run over you. That's what Bart was thinking, right? So they say, let's see. So when he heard it was Jesus, he cries out. And I don't think he was like, oh, Jesus, son of David. I think he was like, Jesus, son of David, Jesus. Remember, he's blind, and it's a huge crowd on a very busy street. So it's not like he could just hear a set of footprints. Oh, there's, hey, Jesus, son of David, come here. It's like, this dude screamed because he was blind, and this is his one shot. He'd heard about this guy healing people. You don't think he was excited? When all of a sudden they said, Jesus is here. Whew, I think his whole everything just about changed, and he knew it. Oh, don't forget, there's priesters in the crowd. We're out at noon no matter what. Do not drag this out. Don't get in my way. I'll run over you like a blind guy. At noon, I'm out. So don't ask no questions. Don't. Come on, we're trying to get somewhere. You think I'm exaggerating? This is what these people said to a blind guy crying out to Jesus. Then many warned him to be quiet. Now, when you warn someone, you don't go, Could you please be quiet? The boss trying to talk. When you warn someone, isn't it more like, you better shut up, right? Not my precious wife, of course. Many warned him. What does this look like? When this blind guy starts crying out to Jesus in the middle of the crowd who all supposedly were looking at Jesus, and all of them, says many, not all, many say, shut up or else. You better shut up. Of course, the blind guy wouldn't see the hand coming at him, right? But when you warn someone to be quiet, you're not asking. You're warning. There's an or else. There's a threat in that. Many warned him to be quiet. So he did. Oh, no, he didn't. So he cried out all the more, Jesus, son of David. Right? Come on, that's what he'd have been screaming. I can't scream as loud as that because I know it'd probably give everybody a headache. He says, have mercy on me. And so Jesus stops and stands still. Jesus cuts through all the mess, all the crowd, a blind guy screaming, the crowd's warning, all the crazy that's going on this major highway anyways. On any day, it would have been a crazy, busy street. In this season, it was totally ridiculous. And Jesus stops, and he commanded him to be called. Whew. Jesus would have saw the people warning the blind guy. I wonder if Jesus targeted a couple of those guys who are the biggest jerks and said, no, hey, you go get him and bring him to me. That's how I picture it. It's amazing. Last week I was talking about how David inspired himself in the Lord by getting alone with God Almighty and getting in the Word, reminding himself through the Psalms he wrote about God's love and his grace, his mercy, his power. David had a plan to inspire himself so that he could accomplish great things for God. I think this blind beggar had a plan. I think, now the Bible doesn't say that, this is just a Mike-ism, so take it for what it's worth. I think that blind Bartimaeus had heard through the years about this miracle worker, Jesus Christ. And I think blind Bart was hoping that he could bump into Jesus somehow, somewhere, some way, that Jesus, in all of his travels, would somehow end up cutting through Jericho. And I think that Blind Bart, who maybe used to beg over by the mall, I think Blind Bart came all the way over here to where that main road goes north and south, and you got to come to this intersection, then you got to go down that road to get to the temple in Jerusalem. I think Blind Bart parked it right here. That's what I think. And he waited. That was his new employment spot. And so I don't know if it took a couple weeks, a couple of months. I don't know if he'd been there a whole year until that day when Jesus finally came through. But he was ready. He said, man, what's all that noise? Oh, it's Jesus. Dude goes nuts. Instantly. Oh, Jesus, Son of David. And he didn't just say, oh, Jesus, great prayer warrior. Son of David is the same as saying Messiah. It's a messianic title. So this man who was a Jew and all the people there that are coming through, going to the temple for Passover, all of them, when he said Son of David, that's a generational title that says this is Messiah. This is the one that come to make us free. Free of blindness too. That's what he would have been thinking. So he had a strategy, just like David, to encourage himself in the Lord. He was going to get a hold of it. If Jesus so much as comes anywhere near this intersection, I'm waiting for him. I'm waiting for him. I think not only do we need to know that he had great belief, but there was a decision in here. And just like him, we all have to make a decision. Blind Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus, Son of David. He wasn't worried about offending anybody. You know, there probably was people there that were super offended because he would call someone the Messiah when no one in the temple was recognizing Jesus as Messiah yet. And so that would be like a false prophet times 100. When blind Bartimaeus screamed out and said, oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, he was declaring to all of them, I don't care if I offend you. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you think. I need to get healed today, and I've made a decision. I'm getting healed today. As much as it's up to me, I'm getting healed today. Whew, I love it. Have we made that decision? You know the thing when I was talking about earlier that all of us, God would touch one thing in our life and give us breakthrough in one thing? Have you made the decision? You're not stopping until that thing gets healed or set free or breakthrough or the answer that you're asking God for. Have you made that decision? No matter what, I'm getting that from God. As much as it's up to me, God's mercy and power is going to have to do a whole bunch of it. But that part of let it be to you according to your faith, I got it. I got it. All my chips are in the middle of the table, Lord. All my chips are in there. I got it. I want to see this thing happen. I've made a decision that I'm waiting on you, God. No ifs, ands, or buts. I love how this blind Bartimaeus, this beggar, and I talked at length about the beggars that we see around here. Most of them are dressed, well, some of them are dressed really nice, nicer than me, but most of them are dirty. Most of them look like they haven't washed in a while, they haven't shaven in a while. Most of them look like they're living on the streets and their clothes look like it. They look like it. They look like they're down and out. And this is how blind Bartimaeus would have looked, probably worse. Probably in their environment, I don't think there's as many freebies as there are around nowadays. And blind Bartimaeus, surrounded by a bunch of church people, varying levels of church people, from priesters all the way up to priests that work in the temple that are heading in for Passover. This whole church community, here's this blind beggar, and he cries out to Jesus, and they warn him to shut up. I don't think they're nice about it. His response was perseverance. I ain't shutting up. I didn't come here to pray one prayer. I came here to get a hold of God. So if that offends all of you, I don't care. Did you ever come into church thinking that? We're going to praise and worship, and I know a lot of times people just want to sit around with their hands in their pocket or their arms crossed or leaning on the chair in front of them or yawning. But today I'm going to touch the living God. I'm going to the throne room. If that offends you, sorry. Not sorry. Do you ever get like that? You ever get so desperate for something that you could not care less? Literally, you could not care any less when anybody else thinks. You're going to get a hold of God on this thing. That's where blind Bartimaeus was. he was warned to shut up, and he cried out all the more. I love it. I love it. It's not enough to cry out to Jesus once and then sit back. We got to have this attitude that I'm not stopping until I get what I want. There's so many parables in the New Testament where Jesus says, you just keep on a knocking. You keep on a pushing. The woman that bugged the judge bugged him until finally he's like, man, she's just not going to leave me alone. Fine, I'll get back out of bed, give her whatever she wants so she'll quit being a pain in the neck. How much more will your Heavenly Father answer your prayers was the illustration that Jesus gave. In Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, this is what Jesus says. This is Jesus himself. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Whew. Didn't say just the one time, or the first time, or the first time every time. It says keep asking, keep seeking. Keep knocking until you get it, because it stops when you get it. That's how I understand this. Everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, he who knocks, it will be open. So I'm not going to stop until I receive, until I find, or until something's opened up to me. That's when I'm going to stop, when one of those things happen. Man, the problem is just like blind Bartimaeus, we're all surrounded with voices. We're surrounded with demonic voices trying to discourage us, get us to just give it up, collapse in hopelessness. We're surrounded by sometimes friends and loved ones who they may have tried something like this once. It didn't happen soon enough, so they gave up. So they want to tell you about how this won't work. Or sometimes they want to tell you how bad you are, you don't deserve it. They want to remind you that just yesterday you did this and just today you did that. And 2 weeks ago, you were so bad I didn't even recognize you. Sometimes friends and relatives want to act like that. Blind Bartimaeus had good old church people threatening him. He better shut up. He better quit trying to get his prayer answered from Jesus. Just shut up. I'm warning you. I wonder if they did this. He could hear that. I'm warning you. You better shut up. Got a schedule to keep here. Trying to get out of here by noon. Worldly voices will try to pull us away from what we know God put in our heart. We're responding in faith to the hope God put in our heart for this thing we're believing for. God started it. He said, yeah, what about your marriage? Yeah, what about your son? What about your daughter? What about your spouse? What about your boss? What about your health? Come to me. And that hope starts up. That's God. Yep. Today when you're thinking about these things and hope started, that was God doing it. God saying, come on, let's do this thing. Discouraging voice trying to pull you away from that. Discouraging voices will try to tell you it's useless. Forget it. Give it up. Discouraging voices will try to convince us that our need is too desperate to meet. It's just too big. It's too horrible. It's too bad. God can't do that kind of stuff. He can fix hangnails, but what you got, he can't do that. Another thing is discouraging voices will try to encourage us in the world's ways. Maybe you just need to let off some steam. Quit worrying about it so much. You know what? Maybe you just need more counseling. Quit praying so much. Maybe you just need to go to a therapist. Why are you in the Word so much? Sometimes the world will try to encourage us in a way that will certainly discourage us from staying a hold of God. And another big thing that we need to have, I'm just about to start closing this thing up. Another thing is we got to have expectation. Do we expect God to move on our behalf? Do we actually expect it? Or is it kind of like the guys I used to work with way back in the 80s, where they would buy a couple lottery tickets every week? They really didn't expect to win, but it was only a couple bucks. And who knows? Just maybe, somehow, they'll win. Whoa, they could quit that sucky job, and they hated their boss, and blah, 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 all the stuff that these guys always talked about. So they'd throw a couple of bucks in the trash. They'd buy a couple of lottery tickets every week. I don't think they were really confident they're going to win. Blind Bartimaeus was sure. If he could get close to Jesus, if he could just talk to Jesus, if he could get within spitting distance of Jesus, he'd get healed. He was sure of it. And he rearranged his whole life, everything about it, for that expectation. Somehow we've got to build up our expectation in God. I love how it says, blind Bartimaeus, Jesus says, oh, hold it. Everybody just stop the train. Can you imagine how irritated that made all the super religious people? Now, I can speak to this because I used to be a dime maker. They love everything in straight rows and straight lines. They love everything measured to the thousandths of an inch. They like everything counted and dated and scheduled. I was a dime maker for, I think, 15 years. I was also in the Marines. Guess what they like? They like straight rows, right? They like straight rows, straight columns. They like things starting on time and getting over on time. They like checklists. When it's done, you check the list. So I know what it means to say, this is the checklist. We're going to start exactly at 10:30, and we're going to get done exactly at noon, period. And we will do these six things in between. Got it? Go. I was, as a young pastor, I had to fight that stuff. These people in this crowd who are trying to get Jesus from point A to point B on that same day, and we got to walk, and there's all these crazy crowds and traffic and everything. Can you imagine their minds when Jesus says, okay, everybody just stop, we're not even moving now? Some of them probably just passed right out from stress right then. One guy, as Luke likes to say, a certain blind man in Jericho had an appointment with Jesus that day. A certain one. He was known by name. Jesus knew him by Bart. He says, everybody just stop. Now I wonder if he like locked eyes with a couple of guys that have, I bet Peter, because Peter seems to be a lot like me. He's one of my favorite Bible characters. I wonder if Peter was always behind Jesus, just kind of, you know, kind of pushing him along a little bit. Yeah, amen, boss. That's good. Keep moving. Yeah, amen. That's good. Come on, wait. Oh, come on. Come on. Come on. I wonder when Jesus said stop, I wonder if Jesus didn't kind of just stop and look him in the eye and look at a couple of the other ones, go stop. Completely stop. Okay. Now, bring Bart over here. You know what? When he said stop, I think it just went whoosh, and it got really quiet. I think already it was kind of quiet. You know, last few weeks we've been really blessed with Cassie and Sabrina here. A lot of the times you can just like listen for a second and you know where Sabrina is. Because she's at church having fun. She walks in here, she sees wide open spaces and just starts running and smiling, and church is fun. Yes and amen. May she live 90 more years and that be her opinion about church. Right? I don't want to do anything to mess that up. Her noise doesn't bother me because noise is a sign of life. Have you ever wondered about this story with old blind Bartimaeus? How in a hugely busy intersection of a couple of highways hitting, how is it that Jesus even heard him when he yelled? Even when he yells at the top of his voice. Can you imagine, like most of us are familiar with 28th Street and East Beltline? It's like 50 lanes wide nowadays or something. It's crazy. It's at least, what, 4 or 5 lanes each direction? There's like 2 or 3 turning lanes, and you're taking your life in your own hands going through that place. Imagine something like that, only twice as busy as it's built for, because it's Passover season. Imagine a place like that, now with all the people bringing animals, because at Passover they have to sacrifice. This is like a traveling circus carnival with a whole bunch of people from out of town. This is a mess. How is it so quiet? The only thing I can figure is that a lot of people are trying to look spiritual. Because sometimes we come into church, we're all real spiritual, you know, and just kind of stand there all quiet. And preacher's preaching his guts out, and there's like maybe one amen through the whole thing. Or Lois is up here leading worship, and worship team's going for it, and it's like, amen? Amen. were they doing the church quiet thing that day? How is it one guy is heard over everybody? I don't know. Unless he was so desperate that the dude screamed louder than I ever screamed my whole life, Marines or otherwise. Somehow Jesus hears, he says, bring him over here. And that's all it took. That was the starter gun. Ka-chish! Old blind Bart's running blind through the crowd. He just took off. Says he gets up and he throws his coat. I wonder if he gets up and this guy over here has been telling him shut up ever since he first cried. You better shut up or I'm going to. The guy gets up, he goes, boom, throws it and runs over to Jesus. You're going to need this now. I won't need it. I got an appointment with Jesus. Whew. It's such a cool story. Such an amazing, amazing story. So he runs up, son of David. He goes, let me read this. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called blind man, saying, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man says to him, my master, that I may receive my sight. And then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on that road. Wow, you talk about expectation, and then it happening. I would have loved to have been Bart for that, and I would love to have been anybody still really close there, like the 12 or maybe a handful of other people, who hears Jesus talking, and they go and they get Bart, and they bring Bart up here, and he goes, well, what do you want from me? Well, that I can see, and Jesus says, according to your faith, let it be. Did stuff fall out of his eyes, like with Saul in Acts? Did his eyes just all of a sudden clear up? Did he have cataracts and they just vanished? I don't know what that looked like. But all of a sudden, this blind guy goes, ah! And he just starts running around, and I'll bet he's ducking and dancing in between people. How do you celebrate when you finally can see the first time in your whole life? You think he was loud beforehand? I know he was loud then. So how do we wrap all this stuff up? How do we live this out there? It's great in here to talk about trusting Jesus and making decisions and persevering and pushing in and all that. But how do we do this out there? I want to ask you this question, and I want you to translate it for me. When it comes into your mind, I want you to hear it coming in the voice that Jesus speaks to you in. So like in your prayer closet, or how it feels like when you're asking God something in prayer and then he's answering you. Picture that sensation that you get, or that thought, or whatever that is, experience for you and God. And Jesus is saying to you right now, what do you want me to do for you? Whatever that was, that first thought that came in, you need to write that thing down. That's your thing. You need to write that thing down, and you need to start praying for this thing, and you need to get a Bart attitude on it. This is going to happen. I'm not going to stop knocking. I'm not going to stop seeking. I'm not going to stop looking until this thing happens, until God does this thing. Let me ask you this. Why did you come here this morning? What is the focus of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Messiah? What's your main focus for Jesus in your life? What's the number one thing you've been praying for and hoping for, believing for, seeking? When this thing happens, that'll be the thing that you just go, that's it. I've been praying for this for so long. I've been believing for it. People told me it couldn't happen. They told me to forget about it, quit even talking, don't even bring it up when they're around. And guess what? God just did it. God just did it. What would that thing be in your life? We know that blind Bart was yelling because the Bible tells us that. I think the reason he was heard and brought to a waiting Jesus is a very simple one. I personally believe that on this morning, with a huge crowd of church-going religious people, that he was about 10 times louder than anybody else in the crowd. Because he had an agenda. He had a goal, and he was not going home that day blind. He had heard through the grapevine that Jesus was going to be passing through. He was in Jericho. He's going to be leaving Jericho. He knew his Passover. If he's leaving Jericho, he's going to be going to the temple. That means he's coming through this intersection. I'll be there when he comes by. And other people are probably saying, what are you talking about? This is the corner that you have. You've been here for 17 years. If you give it up, someone else is going to move in. You'll never get it back. I'm going. What are you talking about? If you go over there, you're going to miss. Because at 6 o'clock, they come around over here on this corner, and they give us our meals, and they wash us up. I'm going. I'm waiting there. I'm going to do what I got to do until I can get a hold of Jesus. This is what Hebrews 11:6 says. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So our faith in God can't just be enough that I believe in Jesus. I believe there's a Jesus. Our faith actually has to say, I believe there's a Jesus, and he will do according to my faith in him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's what it says. Without faith that does those two things, it's impossible to please him. Wow. So how about us here this morning? How about us? Do we come in this morning to do church, or are we desperate to meet with Jesus? Now, last week, I asked people to respond in faith and stand up, and I prayed. This week, I want to do it a little bit different. Just a little bit different. I'm going to have us close our eyes. Just bow your heads right where you're at. I got our eyes closed. Our heads are bowed. We don't know what anybody around us or anyone else in this room is doing. My eyes are closed too. And now I'm going to pray. And as I pray, I'm just going to ask all of us to do this simple thing. Respond in faith to today's message, to the story about Jesus and Bart, to Hebrews 11:6, and let's just ask God now to give us a faith that will latch a hold of him in this very thing that we're all already thinking about, our own personal thing, and that we will not let go of him until we see this happen. Okay? Every eye closed, heads bowed. We have an atmosphere of faith now, atmosphere of all of us seeking God, needing something from him. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you for today. I thank you for every person in here, Lord. We're all in different places. We all have different challenges. We're all holding up something different for you right now, God. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would touch us, that you would fill us with a living faith, that you would draw us close to you, and that you would fill us with this passion that Bart had, that no matter what people around us are doing, no matter what people around us are saying, that we'll just cry out to you, that you would be our focus no matter what's going on, no matter what we're going through, Lord. And I pray right now for your sons and daughters, Lord God, that we would be God pleasers. Because, Lord, if the word tells us it's impossible to please you without these things, then that also promises us that we can have your pleasure if we believe in you and if we believe you're on our side, that you reward our diligence. So, Lord, make us God pleasers. Make us a people that walk in the pleasure of God, in the confidence of God, as you answer these crazy big prayers. I thank you in advance, Lord. I thank you that in the weeks to come, as we share testimonies about today's answered prayers, Lord, I just thank you in advance because you're so faithful and we're doing according to your word. So, Lord, I bless your flock. I bless every son and daughter in this place now. I bless them into your purposes and plans for their life. Your word says that you created good works for us to walk in even before the foundation of the world. So, Lord, I say yes and amen to all your good works for your precious children who are called by your name. May we all be used to build your kingdom and bring you glory. I ask this in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Awesome. You know, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, are a handful of verses that will really help us going through this next week. And you might be wondering, well, what do those verses have to do with what you just spoke about? Well, what I know from personal experience for me and other people I've tried to encourage through the years, as we set off to do this now, the devil is going to redouble his efforts to sidetrack us and discourage us, to try to get us to magnify the negative, to talk about the discouraging things, to talk about what's not changing, to focus on the past and the bad. He's going to try to do that, so we'll stay stuck in the past. But this is what Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 8 says. Philippians 4, 4, we'll get you started. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord's at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So in the midst of us fighting through to lay hold of these miracles, we're going to be in a battle. That's fine, because there's already good stuff we can thank God for. That's where we started our service today, giving God glory for the good things he's doing in our lives. So as we go through here, thank God for the little stuff. If you're praying for healing and you feel a little bit better, thank God for feeling a little bit better. Lord, I thank you that my healing is on the way. I'm already feeling a little bit better. I'm praying for more. If you're praying for your finances to turn around and you got an extra $5, Lord, I thank you for this extra $5. It's proof that you're faithful, that my finances are coming around. If you're praying for your marriage and your spouse smiles at you, Lord, I just thank you that our hearts are getting tender. I thank you that you're working on us, Lord, that we're going somewhere, that we're going to have an amazing relationship. Whatever it is, thank God incrementally as he changes things. Amen? All right. Well, God bless you. Have a great week. And we got coffee and juice and water over in the fellowship room. Amen.